Good morning, church. You guys sounded really awesome singing that. We didn't do that first service, and I'm really glad we did it just now. Oh, come, let us adore him. This is from the Gospel of John. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' And I did not recognize him, but in order that he might be manifest to Israel, I came baptizing in water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him.' And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' And I've seen him and borne witness that this is the Son of God." Can we pray together? Father, thank you so much for the love you show for us, the changes that you bring about in our lives, how you've redeemed us from the past, from the old version of ourself, Lord, and you've made us new. And what a privilege to be able to share that story with our community during Night in Bethlehem. And Lord, for tonight, I just pray for strength and joy for all who are involved. I pray for the people that come that their eyes and their hearts would be opened. And Lord, this would be something new. Something will change because of your Holy Spirit. Descend, Holy Spirit, like a dove. And we just lift up Chris, and you would speak through him. Give him strength, Lord, and joy and perseverance. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Right, singing praise to him and adoring him, and just such a beautiful story. Before we get going, man, thank you for all you've done with the night in Bethlehem. It's been an incredible couple of nights seeing the Lord just bless us with people. Yeah, y'all give some praise. It's awesome. Some of the just praises I've just seen, the prayer tent, getting to pray with people, praying over people, seeing Roman soldiers, the guides that already know the story, break down into tears at the end as they fall before the manger. It's just been something incredible, and just seeing the impact on our community. The words they talk about is, I can't believe that the body of Christ could work that way together. Because it has been incredible to see you, the body of Christ, all serving in so many incredible ways. Some of you and acting in these skills that didn't even know you had those kind of skills in there. Some of y'all are kind of mean, Terry. Your hair, you're a little bit scary over there, all right? But some of you, if you didn't know, there are people in this room that spent, you know, half the week painting sets and just blessing us with their talents. And Phyllis started sewing like 3 months ago. It's costumes that everybody be able to use their gifts for the glory of the Lord. It's just been an incredible, incredible few nights. But guys, there's one more. Don't forget, there's one more tonight. So number one, you got to come. Number two, keep praying. Keep praying that the impact of the story will be something that lasts, that these kids that get to come through and see the story, that when they read the Bible, they'll read it differently. When they read about the Roman soldier, they'll think, well, could his life have been different in that? And today, as we dive into the book of Luke and we look at John the Baptist, my favorite character in all of Scripture, it's a story that can be familiar. Because at Christmas time, we often read Luke 1 and Luke 2 and kind of read through the story. But let's see if we can see it with kind of a fresh set of eyes. Because we're talking about the power of story. We're talking about what it means for us to have a story or a witness or a testimony to tell the world. But we have to remember one thing. We're not always the main character in the story. Who is the main character in the story of your life? Now, I know you're in church. You know the right answer, right? Every question, the right answer is Jesus, right? Jesus is the main character of your story. So that would mean that we're really all just the supporting cast for what Jesus is doing. Now, don't you just love the supporting cast in movies? Like, for example, when I say The Lord of the Rings and I say Frodo, but there was Sam, right? There was this faithful friend that was next to him, right? And this person, the real hero of the story, may not always be the one that's in the front, right? It might be those that are supporting and pointing people, and no one better was a supporting cast for Jesus than John the Baptist, who was testifying, I'm not the light, he's the light. I'm just here to make straight the way of the Lord. I'm here to get all the things that could jump into the way, all the stumbling blocks. I'm here to get all those things out of the way so you can truly experience the light. Because there are people in darkness that need to know the light of Jesus Christ. So let's jump in. Luke chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 5. We're going to start with him, John the Baptist's parents, okay? It says this in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Now, we've been going through the book of Exodus, so we know who Aaron is, right? He was the first of the priesthood. We also kind of see Aaron had a few flaws in the system, but we know that Elizabeth was of priestly descent, and we know that Zechariah is of priestly descent, right? In fact, when we read this, we might think, okay, Abijah, what does that mean? Well, if you go back to 1 Chronicles, all right, chapter 24, verse 10, you'll see where David is organizing the priesthood, and he's putting them into different divisions for them to serve in the temple. So a group, a division of the priests would go and serve from Sabbath to Sabbath, and they would kind of rotate off, sort of like firemen or policemen might rotate on for a couple days and then rotate off. In that same way, we see the priests would go and rotate in for a week and then be off for a while, right? And so we see that this division of Abijah was actually the eighth division in this group. And they would rotate in, and then they would rotate out for, you know, about 4 or 5 months, and then they would come back in and rotate through the system, right? So we see that Zechariah is an active part of what's going on in the temple and the different things that are happening here in Jerusalem. And so, and they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. Whew. Isn't that a good line to be told in the Bible? Like, when you think about Zechariah and Elizabeth, you think of righteous, upright, blameless people. Like, what would my sentence be in the Bible? Have you ever thought about that? Like, if they're right, your sentence in the Bible would be like, whew, I'm afraid to say what my sentence might be, right? Or, for example, who are some of the supporting casts in Jesus' story? Pilate. We're telling that story of Pilate. Was Pilate a positive character? But he was a supporting cast, right? Herod was a supporting character, but not always positive. Man, wouldn't it be amazing if when the Lord looked at us, he goes, well done, good and faithful servant, right? That's one of our goals, to live a life to where people would see us as they see Elizabeth and Zechariah here. Right? They were blameless in their commandments and statutes of the Lord, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years. By the way, anybody feeling advanced in years today? And it's been that kind of week, okay? Now listen, I am, but advanced in years here, 60 to 70 years old, but I feel older than that this week, right? But there's one more night. You still got to come, right? Tonight, marketplace, you still got to keep going, right? But man, they're advanced in years, so they're without child. What does that mean? People have looked at Elizabeth all her life and thought God was punishing her, thought she had done something wrong. That's why she's not having children. But the Bible said she was blameless. Yeah, but people are mean. People are hurtful. People judge. Yet she continued to live faithfully before the Lord. Now, while he was serving, Zechariah was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty, right, this eighth division, it says, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot, entering to enter the temple and to burn incense. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Zechariah to be able to go into the temple and to burn incense before the Lord. This is an honor. Some priests would never have an opportunity to go in and to burn incense to the Lord. Most likely, this was the only time in Zechariah's life that he ever had this honor to go before the Lord. And do you remember what that incense was made of? Do you remember back in Exodus 30, verse 34, it talks about how there was a mixture of all these things, but pure frankincense was a part of that mixture of the prayers that would go up before the Lord, right? Remember, frankincense, myrrh, gold, those wise men gifts had this deeper meaning that goes all the way back to the tabernacle that was there. And so he gets to go burn incense before the Lord, right? And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, because this incense was a representation of the prayers going up before the Lord. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Okay, now the action begins, right? He comes in this place he's never really been into before. He's burning incense. Boom, angel shows up. Now, at night in Bethlehem, we try to do this all the time to kind of jump scare people, right? Anybody remember the angel choir a few years ago? Right, where we drop the curtain like, whoa, and everybody like, what just happened to me, right? If that happens with us dropping a curtain, what's it like when a real angel shows up, right? So Zechariah's like, whoa, does this happen every time people burn incense? What's happening? He says, there's confusion, there's fear. Every time the angels show up, do not be afraid, right? And there appeared to him an angel, and Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Woo! God's going to answer his prayer. This is going to be a time of joy, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, for he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Woo! So not only are you going to have a son, but he is going to have the Holy Spirit. He's going to be like a prophet. He's going to be the one that sets the way for the Messiah. What would you be like if an angel showed up and told you, you're going to have a son? This is what's going to happen. Would you rejoice? Is there joy in your heart when the Lord answers prayers for you? Like, for example, at a night in Bethlehem last night, we had a huge prayer. Please don't let it rain. Right? The forecast was bad. People were sending messages. Is the event still happening tonight? We're like, yes, it's still happening. And God did it. It was super cool. I remember we're standing outside just praying, Lord, this little part in the clouds, do a little Moses moment, like make it part, just like right here. Right? We need like a little Jesus umbrella right over this, right? And God was so faithful. You know how faithful he was? It was sprinkling in the back, but not over the gospel story. That's crazy. That's crazy. I didn't even know that. I found that out afterwards because I was like, God, you're so fit. There's lightning over here. Our soldiers are like, no spear, not holding this. I'm good, okay? I'm good. I'll just have a sword for this one, right? Because there's lightning right over here, but yet over the gospel message. That was my prayer all day. Lord, just let your message go out. Don't let anything get in the way of the gospel message. Is that your prayer for your life? Lord, don't let anything that I do get in the way of the gospel message that I live out when I live my life. Don't let my sin, don't let my comments, don't let my facial expression get in the way of sharing the gospel with other people. Very tangent way here, but also we live every day with that sort of message, right? So Zechariah should be filled with joy, right? He should be excited about what God is going to do to him. But here's Zechariah's answer to him in verse 18. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? Uh-oh, doubt jumped on his back. And he has a reason to doubt, doesn't he? Like he's old. He's advanced in years, right? And here's his answer, right? He says, for I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. Good way to say that, right? I'm old, but she's just sort of advanced, all right? Good way to say that, all right? But he doubts. Why does he doubt? Because of the physical limitations that are there. Is anything impossible for God? Anything? No, right? But yet here, Zechariah has those doubts. And don't they just jump on? When God promises something or he gives us things in his word, it's hard. You know why? We're in the midst of the story. How many times have you watched a movie and right in the middle you wanted to quit? Like, think about the Jesus story. He died on the cross. I'm done. I'm done with the story. You missed the whole resurrection. You missed the victory, right? You're like those guys walking on the way to Emmaus. They missed the joy of the resurrection. You're in the midst of your own story. You're in the midst of this right now. Continue faithful. Don't let doubt jump on your back. Even when things are hard, even when things don't make sense, even when angels show up, don't doubt. Continue steadfast in the Lord. And the angel answered him, and I love the answer. And I said, how can I know this? I'm Gabriel. Like, I'm here. You haven't seen this before, have you? I'm here. I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. Whew. And behold, you'll be silent, unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Whew. And what is the put upon Zechariah? He can no longer speak. What the angel has told him, he can't proclaim to others, and yet his silence is going to proclaim that something went on. Something happened there, right? In fact, the people were waiting for Zechariah, and they were wondering at his delay in the temple. And when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. But when his time of service ended, he went to his home. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she kept herself hidden, saying, thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach from the people. And so Elizabeth hides away. And then in another part of the country, right, Gabriel goes and visits Mary, and we're going to read the story when we get to the Christmas season, and he tells Mary, you're going to be with child. It's going to be the Son of God. And Mary believes. She believes. She has faith. Yes, let it be done to me as you say. And where does she go to? Where does Mary run to? To Elizabeth, right? And she shows up talking to Elizabeth in verse 39. And it says, in those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to the town of Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, I've never been pregnant. But Tara's been pregnant, right? Speaking of an awesome supporting cast, okay? But I've felt the baby move before, but leap? Like testing your vertical in the womb? Can't imagine that's normal. I can imagine that feels good, right? But it's something that just Elizabeth noticed right away. When Mary showed up, boom, John reacted. It's almost like John and Jesus had a connection even before they saw the Son. Even before they were born, God had a plan knitting them together. And she said, she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Now, you know me, I have a vivid imagination, right? I wonder if she turned to Zechariah, blessed is she who believed the angel. Right? I don't know if that's how it happened. Probably isn't. Probably wasn't. That's probably not what happened, but it's in my own mind. And then, you know, poor Zechariah can't even say anything back, right? Has no comeback for that one, just a couple signs, all right? So we fast forward, and all of a sudden, Elizabeth is going to be, that was probably not in the Bible. Okay, verse 57. Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord has shown great mercy to her. So you just see how the Lord is just getting all the praise? I just love that in the story. And they rejoiced with her. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father. But his mother answered, no, he shall be called John. And they said to her, none of your relatives are called by this name. They almost tried to talk her out of it, right? But then they made signs to his father, inquiring what he wanted him to be called. Now listen, here's how we know that Zechariah wasn't just mute, but most likely was deaf as well. Why? Because they were making signs to him. They didn't just ask him, what should his name be? And he scribbled it down. They had to make signs to him to what was going to be happening there. So we know that Zechariah was trapped in his head for months, mulling over what the angel had talked to him about, praying for months for this new child that was to be born, right? And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, his name is John. First text message right here, right? His name is John, okay? By the way, you know something about supporting cast? Something I've learned. Emojis are important. Men, emojis are important, okay? I'm discovering this, all right? For example, if I were to type in Y-E-A-H, what does that say? Yay! What does Terry hear? Yeah. That's different, right? If I was like, she's like, oh, this, that, something happened. I'm like, yeah. That's different, right? So I've had to learn to put emojis like, yay, punctuation's important, exclamation point. Right? By the way, your face is important, isn't it? Like, I'm like, oh, Emily, that was so great. Is that believable? Or like, what? I can't believe that was amazing. The way you express things matters. That means that when we walk in the world and they're like, how was the night in Bethlehem? It was great. How's your relationship with the Lord? Man, God is so good. They don't believe you, right? It's important to how we express our joy in the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, right? So as you walk through the world, as you express that joy of what God has done in your life, it's a testimony to the world. And man, use emojis. It helps, right? Because I mean, I'm gonna like, she's like, how's your day? Okay. But what did she hear? Okay. It's important. Smiley face. I'm telling you, it's gonna save you a lot of counseling later on. Okay. But anyway, so he texts John, smiley face. His name is John, and they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke blessing God. And fear came on all of the neighbors. And all these things were talked about through the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them laid them in their hearts, saying, what then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was upon him. Woo! Awesome. And Zechariah, his father, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. Notice how all of this is about what God is doing. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from old that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Woo! That's some praise, right? He's been waiting to say that. He's been waiting, and then he proclaims just how beautiful the Lord is. And my question for us is this: are you okay with being a part of the supporting cast? Would you be okay being John, who your whole life's purpose was to point everyone to Jesus? Your only purpose in life is to point them to someone greater than you. Now listen, this is hard. What if you were to disciple someone and they became more famous than you? What if they became more popular than you? What if they got the job before you and you taught them everything they knew? You're just a really good teacher. Would you be full of joy for them? Would you be celebrating the success of others because you got to play a little bit of a role in their life? How good are you at supporting others, being a part of that cast, being encouraging and building them up? How good are we at supporting one another? You see, we have a world that tries to turn the mirror on ourselves, make it all about us. How many likes we get on this, or how many people know our name, and it becomes such a popularity contest. It's almost like high school all over again. Yet it should be about us bringing glory to his name. If they remember me, what is that worth? They just remember him. Here's a perfect example of that. Let's go to John chapter 3. And in this story, we see John the Baptist, right? We start in verse 22. And we see kind of the same scenario of him understanding his role, that he's supposed to be this support, pointing people to the true light, which was Jesus. And verse 22, right, this child of miraculous birth that we just talked about, here's what he says. After this, Jesus, and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon in Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose from some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, he who is with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing and all are going to him." In other words, John, everybody's leaving you and going to Jesus. Everybody's going over there to get baptized. You're John the Baptist. You're the one who's supposed to be doing these things, right? This is what the disciples of John are saying to him from this response. And look at John's response. And John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven." Woo! That's preachable right there. You might want to underline that one. Every good thing that's happened to you in your life is because of the Lord. All of it. Why do we hold on so tightly to it? Why don't we let it go? Because he is the one who gave it to us, right? No good thing comes to us except from the Lord. "You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete." Whew. It's amazing. Remember, at one point, everyone was going out to see John in the river. It says all the people of Jerusalem, the area, were coming out to him, and now they're all leaving him to face Jesus. And what does he say? "My joy is complete. I fulfilled my purpose. I've played my role." And all of it was to help people discover who Jesus was. Whew, what a testimony. And look what he says next. "He must increase, and I must decrease." Whew, it's a good life verse, everyone. He must increase. I must decrease. Want less of me and more of him. Is that our life story? Is our life story like, "Lord, help everyone remember you"? I don't care if anyone in history remembers me, long as they remember you. Because then there'll be this glorious celebration in heaven someday when he returns, which would be amazing. Come tonight, Lord Jesus, that'd be amazing, right? Right at the end of Bethlehem, we'll go see him in heaven. But are we ready to go out into the world, make the way straight for the Lord? Are we ready to decrease so that the glory of the Lord can increase? That's a challenge, isn't it? For us to forget self and remember him. Replace it with Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the example of John the Baptist, Lord. I thank you for the example of faithful parents, Lord, that proclaim your name and that listen to your voice. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to go out into the world, to proclaim your glory, to show your beauty to the world, that makes straight the way of the Lord. So Lord, in all your ways, Lord, just make us complete. We pray for a night in Bethlehem tonight that, Lord, you will let us proclaim the gospel message. You will help us to be faithful to it, Lord, that every person that comes through will see joy on the faces of those serving. Lord, I pray for every actor and every part that they will continue, Lord, to have the same enthusiasm when they've done it for the 100th time as they did it the first time, Lord, so that we can truly proclaim your name. Lord, we want more of you and less of us. That's our prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chris, for a good message today. Church, we have just a few announcements. First, it's for the ladies. Last week we announced it, and this week we're announcing it's your last week to sign up for the winter retreat. So please, if you have an opportunity, if you see behind me, you can register there. Go online right now and register. We don't want you to miss that opportunity. Our second message is, I know it's in the bulletin, but we want to remind you, Christmas Eve we will have two services, 4 and 5 o'clock. And then Christmas Day is on a Sunday. We're only going to have one service, and that's at 10 a.m., and that's going to be a family service. So please come join us each day. We'll love to see you. Thank you guys for being here. And I just want to close with the scripture of Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. A voice cries, "In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." God bless you, church. Have a good week.